a conference that has got a lot of people talking, and that was in part the point of the conference, took place last week at UWS. Esther Geeshan is with the Center for Continuing Education at UWS, and the conference had to do with elder abuse. Esther, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's talk just a little bit about elder abuse. For some people, it's still a concept that maybe mercifully, maybe not so much, they haven't had to hear about. What form does the abuse take? What are we talking about here?
Well, abuse can take many, many forms, and it often starts with something that we might consider less serious, perhaps, and then it it grows from there. Elder abuse includes wire fraud. It includes relatives or others who abuse power of attorney and take a person's money when they aren't authorized to and aren't using it in the person's best interest. It includes psychological abuse, which can be just verbally degrading a person, or it can be psychological abuse in the sense of holding visitations, for instance, with one's grandkids hostage to the person giving them the money that they want, to very violent physical abuse. Domestic abuse doesn't end when a person gets older. Domestic violence doesn't end when a person gets older, but a person may be less able to handle it, and it may be perpetrated by younger people in the family rather than spouse or partner, like we tend to think of domestic abuse.
Esther, are the motivations the same behind elder abuse as the motivations with, for example, child abuse, a subject that maybe we've heard a little bit more about? Or is the motivations seem to be, in many instances, about money?
I think that's one of the main differences between elder abuse and child abuse and a lot of domestic abuse as well, is that a lot of the wealth in this country is held by people over 60 years old. And so that can often be, what gets it started. The vulnerability, I think, is similar. People who prey on vulnerable people, whether they're children or adults. But with adults, then you also have, with older adults, cognitive issues coming in. So it's different from child abuse, I think, in a lot of ways.
Is the abuse being perpetrated by relatives, by caretakers in facilities, by strangers?
Well, overwhelmingly, unfortunately, it is by family members. The National Center on Elder Abuse says that 90% of abusers are known to the victims. And I don't have the percent that are family members, but the vast majority are family members.
Esther, you've described our area as a perfect storm for elder abuse. Can you explain what you meant?
Well, we have a disproportionately aging population. Because of young people moving out of the area, most rural areas are experiencing that. Where younger people are moving out and older people are staying. And so there aren't family members necessarily living close by, helpful family members to look after the person. And there's also a shortage of care providers, whether it's home care or in, an institutional assisted living, long-term care, adult foster. And so there's a shortage of safeguards, really, because of the demographics and high proportion of people at risk. You know, the National Center on Elder Abuse estimates that 1 in 10, from their research, older adults 60 plus have experienced some form of elder abuse, but that study didn't even include fraud and financial exploitation. So,
wow.
You know, it's a really high percentage, and then you consider how many, you know, what percent of our population is over 60 and how that's projected to get to be a bigger and bigger percent. And so we really need to start educating people about the safeguards they can put in place for themselves and that they can put in place for loved ones so that they're protected to the extent, you know, that we can from potential exploitation. And so one of the things we really tried to do with this conference is make people aware of what they can do and make people aware of the indicators of abuse, some of the things that you could be watching for in your neighbors or people in your churches or your families or people that you know, and then to make sure that they know what to do if they suspect or observe abuse, that they should call adult protection services for their state and report it so it can be investigated.
Esther,
if it's not reported, obviously nothing is going to be done about it.
Is there a place, perhaps online, where folks can find some of this information? We're running out of time, but I'd really like to give people the opportunity to read and learn more and also to make notes of some of these indicators and what they need to do to report.
Well, Minnesota has a great resource. Minnesota has the Minnesota Elder Justice Center. And I don't have that email offhand.
That's fine. We can find it.
In Minnesota Elder Justice Center, it will come up. They have a wealth of information online. And then the National Center for Elder Abuse is another great source. And then locally, can I give the numbers?
Absolutely.
Okay. In Minnesota, the number they would call is 844-880-1574. And that's for the whole state of Minnesota.
That's 844-880-1574. Is that right?
Right. That's
okay.
Right. And then in Douglas County, Wisconsin, they call 715-395-1304.
And we'll get those numbers up also so that if folks
right.
want to learn more information and have those numbers handy, they will have access to that. Esther, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you for giving attention to this issue.
Esther Geeshan, our guest this morning. She is with the Center for Continuing Education at UWS. They held an elder abuse conference at UWS last week.